Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Stargazing with Star Fuentes. Star Fuentes is a master intuitive healer and spiritual teacher and has been a pioneering student of metaphysics for over 50 years. She has learned lifetimes of priceless information from her years of seeking out and living with indigenous healers and shamans around the world. Visit her website at www.starfuentes.com and then join her here every Wednesday night on Spiritual Connections Radio as she shares her knowledge with you. And now, Star Fuentes.
Welcome. After the half hour, we will be taking calls at 646-716-9663. And tonight, I'm privileged to have with me Sherry Whitfield, whose best friend is Synergy. Tell us about that, Sherry. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you for having me tonight. Well, I travel around the world, and I work with a lot of indigenous people also with the ancient crystal skull that's known as Synergy. Synergy is not actually the name of the skull. It's the quality of the energy that it manifests on the earth at this time. So it has a sacred name that is a little bit different. But I would say that my nickname for the skull is the original sin, S-Y-N.
Wow. Tell me about the size, the proportion, the weight of the skull.
Synergy's a life-size skull weighing about 15 and a half pounds, although under laboratory conditions it has repeatedly changed weight, which is an unexplainable phenomena for a quartz crystal object. It comes from the South Pacific. It is carved as a replica of one of their ancestral skulls from over 40,000 years ago. Synergy is a twin. The twin is called Harmony, and Harmony still lives with Native people in the South Pacific.
Wow. I know a lot about crystal skulls. I'm not so sure that many of my listeners do. Can you give us some facts about crystal skulls and some statements about crystal skulls?
Well, crystal skulls are tools of spiritual awareness, whether it's a contemporary crystal skull or an ancient crystal skull. They can be used as specific tools for your own spiritual awareness. I like to say that the first layer of working with any crystal skull, including Synergy, is to remember. Now, there's many other layers to the skulls, and what you are called to remember is who you really are. We forget who we are. We get caught up in daily things that take up our time and our energy, and we forget that life is short and sweet, but even with all the pain and difficulties, it's worthwhile. So they are tools of spiritual awareness, and the way that they work is that they, if they're carved correctly, they do certain things with the energy field of human beings. They help you to focus, reflect, refract, or open your energy up into components where it's easier to see what are the issues that you're dealing with at this moment. They amplify. That's probably the most obvious thing that they do with people is they amplify. They also transmit and they transform energy, and they help you to attune or change your vibration. So working with the crystal skull is it's a personal thing for each person who has one. Meditation is part of it. Going to sacred places. I do a lot of ceremony with Native people, and the type of ceremony we do with Synergy is a laughing ceremony and a gratitude ceremony. So we create a field of resonance with people, and a lot of other people bring their crystal skulls, and we share with each other.
Well, I'm impressed because I remember when we had radios and they had a crystal in it to receive. And I know how much information can be held in just a teeny, teeny bit of crystal in a computer. And this skull is so heavy and so radiant. I remember I met Synergy last October, and I walked through. I asked her if I could go over there and put my hands on Synergy, and I did. And the first thing I got was, thank you, thank you, thank you. And I kind of had a laugh. I had to say, do I have to say that, or are you saying that to me? And it just said both. So that, for me, was a really good experience with your skull. I guess that we have so much information in our own DNA and our own lineages that can't be amplified by just being. When we're put with a crystal skull, strange and wonderful things can happen. And for me, all of the skulls that I met, something different happened. And what I really like about you, yourself, and your skull is how easy you laugh, how joyous you are, and how radiant you can be. Were you always that way, or did getting the skull help you get to be that way?
Well, you know, Synergy is called by the natives the skull of joy and laughter, or the laughing skull. And I do believe that it's influenced me. But I've always been a basically happy person. I've had a lot of tragedy in my life, but I was on a firm and definite spiritual path before the skull came to me. I've had a mentor as a child who was an Ojibwe elder, and he gave me the name of Laughing Red Fox. And I think that that's really interesting that I had, that was his name for me, and it included the word laughing.
Well, what most people don't know is you have beautiful red hair, too. So, you know, I can see where that really, really fits for you.
Yeah, they would always tease me that I got the red hair because I loved carrots so much.
Oh, boy. So tell me, are there any strange incidents, wonderful incidents that happen with the skull? Do you have any little stories of the road to tell us?
Oh, geez, where to start? I'll tell you one that was very interesting. I was down in Mexico for a big ceremony with some Mayans and people interested in crystal skulls. And Mexico's a tricky place to bring in an ancient crystal skull. A lot of places are. There are, you know, Synergy's an artifact, and it has a provenance. So it has a history that has been verified by an independent researcher. So I get into Mexico, and that's not the problem. Getting in is not the problem. Getting out is the problem. I was with a group of people, and they had crystal skulls, and they were stopping everybody. And I started to go through the security line, and it broke down. So I went over to the one next to it. And this man came up to me, and he says, I know who you are. I said, oh? He said, yes, let me help you. Let me help you. I said, okay. So he picked up Synergy. He put my stuff through. He told the men on the other side, don't touch her things. She's a woman who has a crystal skull, and she goes around the world promoting harmony. And I almost said, well, no, that's the twin, but I've learned to keep my mouth shut in situations like this. And so I wasn't too sure what was going on, but these weird things do happen a lot, and very much so with security people. My husband was a little bit ahead of me, and he was watching, and he saw the man talking to the other employees. He was the head of the airport security, you know, their equivalent of TSA. And he took me to one side, and I said, well, thank you for your help. You know, I really appreciate it. And he pulled his shirt down a little bit, and he pointed to a tattoo he had. and it was a tattoo of a skull wearing a scarf. And he said, Santa Muerte told me about you. I said, oh?
Oh?
He said, yes, I follow Santa Muerte, and I always listen to her. I do what she asked me to do, and she told me to help you. And she told me that, you know, I needed to look out for you and make sure that you were safe. And he thanked me for what I was doing. And as I stood there, I thought to myself, uh-oh, it's not always a good idea to, oh, Santa Muerte. So I asked Synergy, okay, well, what can I do to be even? Because I got a favor from Santa Muerte. Synergy said, look for this woman. And I saw a picture of a woman with shoulder-length dark hair, and she was missing her two front teeth, and she was holding a mop. And I went over to my husband, and I said, would you please hold Synergy, because I need to find this woman in the airport. And so my husband says, well, how are we going to find her? I said, I don't know, but I can't leave the airport. And then I said, give me all the money that you have left. And he said, what? I said, money's a very good way to pay off my debt to Santa Muerte. So he opened his wallet, and he gave me his money, and I started looking through the airport. And I was going in places, you know, looking down halls and bathrooms. And a small door was off to the right-hand side down a corridor. And a woman walked out carrying a mop with no front teeth. It was the same woman. So I went up to her, and I don't speak very good Spanish, but I said, gracias por limpia. Thank you for cleaning. And I said, Santa Muerte told me to give this to you. And I gave her all the money that I had. It was probably about $100 maybe. And she looked at me, and she pulls out a medallion from her shirt, and she kisses it, and she says, oh, Santa Muerte, gracias. And I left.
Oh, that's a very interesting story indeed. And it's amazing how people subconsciously sometimes don't even know what the psychic communications are, or even consciously, but how that well they respond to light, to energies, and to you and your skull. I imagine quite a few people say, can I carry your bag? Do they not?
Oh, yeah.
You? And you're like, I'm not letting my skull go, right? I mean that's
well,
the way I
you
would
know,
be, too.
I am a red fox, and I can slip through a lot of things. People don't notice you that much. But, yeah, you know, the skull is never left alone, not ever. And when I'm traveling, it's in a backpack that I have. It just looks like I'm carrying a backpack like any, you know, anybody would. And I can get in and out of a lot of interesting places, but it's kind of it's an object of reverence and sacred history, but it's also seen by some people who are not really on a spiritual path as a power object, because it does have certain abilities and powers.
Well, it does, and if you don't know how to use it, then it's just an object. And really, really, crystal skulls have spiritual relationships with people. And if you're somebody who, you know, wants a crystal skull to have a crystal skull and you haven't done your work, this crystal skull probably doesn't help you a lot. You know, most crystal skulls work just as hard as you do when they play with you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I would agree with you. You know, the legends are, and the history of the native people in the South Pacific is very much like the Mayas and the Hopi and the Inuit and Tlingit and et cetera, that they were carved as the receptacles of the records for 13 different solar systems, 12 others, and the 13th being Earth.
And when the skulls come together, what happens?
Well, you know, Star, over the years, I've come to think that this is a metaphor for human beings coming together. Because I think that the skulls are together energetically in ways that humans don't understand. And if we could get 13 humans in a room and have them cooperate and be very respectful and kind, that's an example for the world. So I think it's more than just the skulls. I think it's the guardians of the skulls also and the people that are attracted to them and work with them.
I think it's really, really important to understand that even if though you sit in Arizona and I sit in Arkansas, that with our light, with our kindness, with who we are and how we behave, we are one. And as a master, you're responsible for everything. So masters are responsible for the wars going on. We're responsible for the hunger. And when you get to a very high spiritual level, there is nothing you're not responsible for. And as soon as we become responsible beings here on this planet, then everything else will fall into place. I still have, you know, having met the several skulls, I still have this image of 13 skulls, 12 around one, and like some big light, some big, I can't explain it, energy happens. And it, every once in a while I have that kind of a dream and that kind of a space. So do you teach people to work with their own mineral and crystal skulls?
Yes. Yes, I do. And I believe that no one else can activate your crystal skull. You activate it. I have an online store and business where I go out and I get carvers to make skull-shaped crystals and minerals, and then I put them with Synergy for anywhere from months to literally years. And when they're ready energetically, then I list them.
And what's that website?
If you go to www.crystal-skull.com, there's a link to our online store. So it's crystal and then a dash skull.com.
Okay. And you have crystals for sale there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's probably 400 or 500 of them listed at any one time. I'm really serious about sharing the energy with other people. And also, I've not professionally collected stories, but I really am fascinated with the consistency of people's experience across the world. If this weren't based in something real, the anecdotal evidence wouldn't add up. It wouldn't be so consistent. It's no different than people who work with lucid dreams, something I'm very interested in and have taught for many years. It's no different than people who have experiences with angels or people who've crossed over. As you know, Star, there's a consistency to all of these experiences that can't just be dismissed as a fantasy. I'm not saying that people don't get into fantasies. I think that's something we always have to watch for. But discernment is one of the things that helps us to grow spiritually. Crystal skulls are another tool in the toolbox. And as my friend Diop Van Etten likes to say, they are the most beautiful tool. He's a guy who has written a couple of books about crystal skulls. And his research comes from a very left brain approach, where mine has come, everything I know about them, I've learned from Synergy. And yet, over the years, his left-brain research, scientific research, and my right-brained experiential research have met in the middle. So I highly recommend either one of his books to people who are interested in crystal skulls. There's a lot of misinformation out there, like anything metaphysical or spiritual, but sometimes you find a book that says a lot of things that are worthwhile. So I could definitely recommend those to your listeners.
Okay, that's good that we have a source to go to. And I believe that the whole of Earth's life is stored in some of them, and all our DNA history and things that happened before recorded history.
Yes.
You've ever been in an old church that smells like old books and incense, and it smells sacred to me, you know? And when you're in a crystal skull, yeah, there's just the same sort of feeling next to Synergy and next to most of the skulls that is very, very powerful.
Yeah, they put out an energy. Synergy's been measured by some laboratories. I won't mention them because I don't want to get anybody in trouble. But with certain kinds of equipment, the frequency, there's a frequency that this skull puts out. Now, all crystals vibrate at different frequencies. That's why they can work with computers and other types of electronics. The field that Synergy puts out goes out, as of a year ago in April, 21.9 miles in one direction. So you think about, that's an ancient skull that's very active, but even a contemporary small skull is going to put out a field like what you're talking about. All of the ancient skulls put out very large, very palpable energy fields.
And it's just amazing, you know, that there are people who can walk into the field of the skull, never feel it, never see it, never notice it, and there are other people who walk into it, and it's like, you know, it's like fireworks going off. And does that change for people? Have you seen people who met the skull and were like, okay, big deal, and 4 or 5 years later they met the skull and were like, wow?
Oh, yeah. Even 4 or 5 months later. You know, it's different for every person, and I think you take yourself with you to every experience that you have. So wherever you're at, there's no wrong way to experience whatever your life is. Same thing with meeting a crystal skull. You know, even if you don't feel anything, it doesn't mean that something isn't happening.
That's true, and sometimes when there are no feelings, something very powerful is happening, you know, because if there's nothing there, you start feeling bored, you start feeling anxious to move on. If you get to a space and place in front of a crystal skull where you are not feeling anything, then something in your body is using energy and taking in information so fast that you don't even have energies for emotions at that point in time. You know,
yeah,
I would agree with you.
Mm-hmm. Also, people have a tendency to go home and have very vivid dreams for several days afterwards. So it's different every time.
And the dream work with the skull, I imagine, how many years have you lived with Synergy now?
Almost 14.
And I imagine
like 30.
Your dreams are very, very rich, correct?
Oh, yeah. I was always lucid in my dreams. Synergy talks and sings and does all kinds of things at night that sometimes are quite annoying. You can't put earplugs in and block it out. So from the first day that I brought it home, it was talking to me, and I could hear it just like another person. And it's been interesting to watch the progression. You remember, this is a skull that was never lost. It was never stolen. It was never sold. It was never traded. It was always with people, and almost always native people. And so the tribe that has the twin, they live in a very simple way. They don't use money or anything else. When the skull told me that it needed to go somewhere, and I said, I don't have the money for a ticket like that, it had no idea what money was. Nothing. It's no, we will go.
Oh, wow. That's pretty funny. Somebody told me once in Mexico, when I was in Mexico, and I think it was the Day of the Dead, and all those little crystal sugar skulls were there,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, a lot of people wearing the skull masks. And I said something to one of the Mayan elders about, what do you feed a crystal skull? And they turned around and looked at me, and they went, Estrella, star. Crystal skulls don't need food. They feed you. And I just stood there, and I was like, oh, okay, I guess that was a stupid question. So, you know, it's amazing how little as a race, how little we really know about them, that they've sat in tribes where people don't need money, don't need possessions, and been there for years and years and years. And, you know, you ask most Americans what a crystal skull is, and I think maybe, maybe they'd seen Victor or heard of it, but they would kind of bah humbug it, because in its simplicity, it holds so much information and so much light and love for us that they can't get that simplicity.
Yeah, I'm pretty amazed at how many people have opened up to crystal skulls since I've been involved. And, you know, 14 years isn't really that long. You look at some other people in the field, and like Joanne with Max, she's been around, you know, like 25 years. And I have great respect for the work that she's done with him. But
she sure has.
14 years, yeah. You know, in 14 years, you think about what's happened in the history of the world, and a lot of things have happened. There's been a lot of upheaval. There's been a lot of change. We went through 9/11. And, you know, things are always evolving. And I think that there was a good and a bad result from the Indiana Jones movie. I never did watch it. I was contacted by the director's personal assistant before they actually did it. And, you know, asked what my input was, and I just laughed. I said, well, is it entertainment or is it spiritual, you know, truth, you know, some sort, my opinion on spirituality? They said, oh, well, he wants to put something real in there. And I was thinking, well, what you've shown me is going to be entertainment. It's not true. And they asked me if I could point them where to obtain a skull for the movie, and I said, well, from what you're explaining, throwing it around, that would never happen. You need to get a plastic one. And so that's what they did, was get a resin skull that could be thrown around. But
well, you know, you know, long ago, I guess it was 1970 or something, somebody says, do you want to be on a radio show about the New Age? And I said, yeah. And I got on the show. And in those days, you actually had to go to the radio station. And I got in. The show was New Age versus Christianity. And I was like, I'm going to ask more questions before I do these things, you know.
Oh, I mean, I have to say, I turn down most of them because I'm not interested in the melodrama and whatever. People ask me to be on panels and debate, and this isn't. Look, I'm the guardian of the skull called Synergy, and Synergy literally is a higher form of cooperation. You know, if there's some need for me to debate, I will vigorously defend my position, but I think there's another way to approach things, and that by working together, we can get so much more done than by doing things alone. You know, this isn't about our ego gratification. It truly is about healing ourselves so that we're able to help each other.
Well, you know, you do such a beautiful job. The first time I saw you, I think the airport bus was 2.5 hours late for you. And
yeah.
You were sitting at another table, and I didn't even know you then. I was sitting at another table, and you took it so graciously. And I noticed that you had a green backpack that was radiating. And I said, wow, this is a cool lady. I bet you she's at the show. And sure enough, you were there. And you sold this beautiful space. And I remember a lot of purple and the skull being there. And you just being there. It wasn't about attracting people, not attracting people. You had a very good grace of being there, and as you do on the show. But once again, we must plug your website. And what are your two websites?
Okay. It is crystal-skull.com.
All right. And we're coming up on the half-hour break here. So everyone take a deep breath. Okay, and I think we're coming up on the next one.
You're listening to Stargazing with Star Fuentes. Star Fuentes is a master intuitive healer and spiritual teacher and has been a pioneering student of metaphysics for over 50 years. She has learned lifetimes of priceless information from her years of seeking out and living with indigenous healers and shamans around the world. Visit her website at www.starfuentes.com and then join her here every Wednesday night on Spiritual Connections Radio as she shares her knowledge with you. Once again, Star Fuentes.
We're taking your calls. The number is 646-716-9663. Great. Any other interesting notes that you have to tell us about synergy?
Well, let me tell you a little bit about the history of this goal, because it,
okay.
it can be verified, and it has been verified. It spent a lot of its existence with a small tribe of Aboriginal people that are in the region of Micronesia off the coast of Australia. They call themselves in English the real people. And what is real about them, why they say they're real, is that they know how to respect that is what is real, that the basis of our life on Earth has to be in respect for every living thing on the Earth. So it's respect in a larger way than maybe Americans normally think of it. At some point about 2,000 years ago, they sent the skull across the Pacific in a canoe, an outrigger-type canoe. There was 14 men in the canoe, and they went to the Hawaiian Islands. Now, this is where they find evidence of synergy having been there, because the real people have a very specific way of respecting life, and their whole religious and spiritual belief systems focus on twins and skulls. They have the bone ancestral skulls of going back more than 10,000 years in these sacred caves that they keep the twin of Synergy. When Synergy got to the Hawaiian Islands, they had a lot of oral history speaking about this. I've met a number of very specific types of kahunas that carry these stories. There's a cave in the Hawaiian Islands that's still tended to by some of these kahunas. And in the cave is the outrigger canoe that they say that Synergy wrote in. What do they have to back that up? Well, they have seven bone skulls of seven men that they say rode in the canoe with the skull and stayed with it while it was in the island. So these skulls have been examined, and they directly go back to the ancestral skulls that are on the island that the real people live in. Now, the DNA of that tribe is quite different than most people in the world. They have 6% Neanderthal. They have children that are still born dark-skinned with blue eyes and blonde hair. There's only one other place in the world that anything like that takes place. So the DNA can be tracked very specifically to this area and these very few islands. Also in the cave are some artifacts that, again, go specifically back to that tribe. So one of the neat things about Synergy that's different is there are ancient runes carved on the bottom of the skull. And for a long time, I would send out etchings of the runes and ask people that were linguists, you know, what is this? And people had a few thoughts on it, but a few years ago, within a very short period of time, four different students of the Ogham or Oum runic language, which is mostly found in the British Isles, they contacted me and said, hey, this is an ancient archaic form of these runes. And they all came up with basically the same interpretation, which was very fascinating. Anyway, so those runes are on artifacts in the cave in Hawaii. So that's something that connects them. When the skull left Hawaii, it went up to the northern Andes. So it went back across the Pacific by some sort of canoe or boat and trekked probably up through Chile and Bolivia near the Lake Titicaca region, north of there in the Andes, south of there in the Andes. And it went to a people called the People of the Sky, the Warriors of the Clouds. And it was there for several hundred years until, unfortunately, with intertribal warfare and such, first they were overrun by the Inca, and then approximately 80, 90 years later, the Spanish came, and, you know, there were all kinds of plagues and warfare. In the late 1600s, the last guardian of the skull, one of the shamans of the tribe, brought synergy to a Spanish nun named Maria Teresa Eduarda. And Sister Maria lived in Peru in a, she was a healing nun. So she worked a lot with survivors, and she was trying to bring Christianity to them. You think about how strange that is, that they brought an ancient crystal skull to a Catholic woman, a Spanish Catholic woman. That's always really touched me because, you know, you might see a person and you think that because they lived in a certain country or they had a different religion or their skin color was different, that they're your enemy. But that's not how Crystal Skull sees human beings. They look at your heart. And Synergy stayed with Sister Maria until 1720. And when she died, she gave Synergy to a grandfather and a grandson. And it stayed in their family until 1981. And then the man who gave Synergy to me was given the skull. So he had it for 20 years in a suburb of Stockholm, Sweden. And then we ran into each other, and I had no interest in skulls at all. They're, I guess you could say, like movie people say and writers, you know, there was foreshadowing in my life suggesting that something like this could happen. But, you know, that takes hindsight to notice. When you're living it, you don't notice things like that. I was interested in angels. I was interested in working with your own guides and lucid dreaming and spiritual protection, clearing and releasing. I was teaching workshops about spirituality across the U.S. and in Canada, and I had no interest in doing any kind of work with the crystal skull. But I kind
that
of
changed.
Tricked myself into taking it. Yep.
Well, it's really amazing. You know, I've talked to Joanne. I used to have a house near Houston, so I talked to her a lot. And it seems almost like the crystal skulls pick people, that the people don't pick the skulls, you know what I mean? And when they're handed down, and even the people who hand them down even, you know, don't necessarily give the skull to who they think the skull should go to, but it goes to who it's supposed to. So that
I found that
very interesting. So, Mark, are there any callers there? I'm not hearing my engineer right now. So
I keep the thing muted, so you can't hear me.
Okay. Is there anybody there for us?
No, not yet. I'm still screening some callers, so a lot of people are just listening, which is amazing.
Okay, so it's 646-716-9663. Have you ever seen any strange colors, lights, heard anything unusual, anything with your five hard senses while you were near the skull?
Oh, sure. I mean, and it can be photographed with unusual, you know, like spirits that look like they're coming out, or orbs, or several of them at a time. Of course, there's laughing. A lot of people hear Synergy laughing. That's its trademark, I guess. I've seen grown men who were very stoic Native men, you know, with a strong medicine training, and I put Synergy in their arms, and they're they're crying until the snot's running down, because first they're releasing a lot of, you know, well, it's a reunion for a lot of people. But the laughter is a good way to release things, you know. Sometimes they say that the kachina that can make you laugh, they're a very powerful being. Because if you, in the midst of your trials and tribulations, can laugh at yourself, as well as life circumstances, you have a chance to advance spiritually much quicker. But, yeah, I've seen, I mean, we're talking UFOs, and I don't know where to start. Probably some people
it's a lot. Well, I
travel
think maybe,
with me.
Maybe I'll invite Synergy next time I have laughter yoga over the church. Have you participated in the laughter yoga yet?
Well, we do a laughing ceremony, which I only heard about laughing yoga about a month ago, and I was thinking how funny it's so similar to what, you know, I do with Synergy. This is a traditional ceremony that the real people have done with Synergy for, you know, millennium.
But that's,
you know,
important.
There's really nothing. Yeah, there's nothing new in the world. It's
all the same, but at a different level, and what we think is a different time. It might be all happening at once.
It might very well. And you mentioned that you know, the history and the legends, the stories speak about them being connected to other times and places in the history of the earth. They also say that they're a portal, and I would say that I learned firsthand about the idea of a portal. The first time was a very hot summer night in Mississippi, and I was staying with a friend who does organizing for groups that we do and events in Memphis. In fact, I'll be there in about a week, a little over a week.
And that's on your calendar?
Yeah, my calendar is up on the website, yeah.
Great.
But this was an interesting evening. I do private sessions with Synergy, and mine are a lot different than any other guardian that I know of. I work with this goal in traditional shamanistic ways, and so it really is about energy and vibration. You know, I heard a medicine man say to me once that working with energy in these ways and shamanism, what you're looking for is just a moment to get the person's attention, because in that moment, if they can drop their concerns, their fears, their ego, just an instant is all it takes for a healing to take place, for a change to take place. So I do a lot of drumming. I do a lot of unusual things. It's very active. I never know what's going to happen till I put the person's hands on Synergy. So I'd had a day in Memphis, and we drove back about an hour to Mississippi. The last session I did that night was a guy who had driven a lot of miles to come. It's a very unusual thing. Now, during sessions, really weird things happen. I've seen people repeatedly, like, make physical movements that don't seem to be possible. So, for instance, at this night I saw something I've seen three or four times before, where a person puts their hands on Synergy and they connect with what appears to be a lifetime where they were a jaguar priest. And sometimes people take their hands off the skull, and I've literally, and other people have seen it at the same time, because I often work with another person who's trained, flow around the room. Have you ever seen a cat that gets startled or is happy, and they kind of bounce off the wall?
Yeah.
I've seen people do that. I don't know how they do that, but we had a very loud and active session with this guy. And we went to dinner, and I had a strange thing happen to me. I was kind of pulled into it, which really never happens, but it happened. And I realized there was something there that I needed to experience. Well, to make a long story short, I ended up back in Mississippi, and I was very restless, feeling really strange. And I asked, I told the lady that I was staying with, Madra, I said, you know, I need to go outside for a little bit. I went outside and I started walking, and it was totally dark and humid, and, you know, the only thing you could really hear were the insects. Nobody really around. She lives out in the country. And I swear I had some sort of a fugue state or something, because before I knew it, I was in a tree. Now, Star, you remember, I walk with a cane.
I
have
remember.
A traumatic brain. Yeah. I have a traumatic brain injury, which one of the side effects is brittle bones. So if I'm not careful and I step wrong, I break my leg, and that's happened to me a number of times. I was not walking off the road in Mississippi in the middle of the night. But the next thing I know, the next instant, I was up a tree. I'm talking a good 15 feet up a tree. There's no way I could have gotten up there. There was something weird about the energy. It was something to do with the last session that I had. And I knew that it was something that I needed to integrate and process in my life, because I always wanted to be like other people. And since I was a little kid, I never was. I was always really different. You know what I mean? I saw ghosts and I heard things, and I just wanted to be a normal person, whatever that meant. You know, as a teenager, you don't want to stand out too much.
No. And then we all get normal, and then we have to pay thousands of dollars and hundreds of hours to get our psychic powers back again.
I never got normal, you know. I went to see a psychiatrist when I was 18, and I said, you know, hey, you know, I think I'm psychotic. You need to help me. And he said, well, what makes you think that? I said, well, I leave my body, you know, I see people after they died, and I see colors around people, I hear things, I'm sure I'm psychotic. And he said, well, I don't know. Long story short, I ended up working for him as a psychic, as a medical sensitive. And I did forensic psychology type work, and I still do that, working with people who were committed because they had done criminal acts and were supposedly insane. That's not always the full story. But as a young woman, I just wanted to be normal.
Okay. I think Mark's got a caller there for us. You have a caller, Mark?
Okay. Yes, I do. Hold on for a moment. Okay, Kim, you're on the air.
Hi, Kim.
I almost hate to interrupt the conversation because I've really been enjoying it.
Well, that's okay. How about your question? You're going to ask something that everybody's thinking out there, so your question is important to us, too.
Oh, yeah. Well,
it really has a lot about what you were just talking about. I have been in the presence of a crystal skull, and I had some visitors when I was, like, 15 that came in a spaceship and tried to tell me that that everything I was being taught in school was brainwashing. And so I always have kept it very quiet. And I've worked as a healer. And I've just been feeling this calling a little bit more towards something more. I was wondering if you were feeling anything.
Am I feeling anything about you?
Yes.
I think you should pursue it. You know, one of the things I see most commonly are really called into this kind of work, and I see more people with a strong healing energy involved with Synergy and other crystal skulls than anything else. And I also think about this, Kim. If you have a gift and you're not using it, then don't ask for any more. So use the one you have. If you're feeling pulled to do that, You are, as Star said, totally responsible for everything you do. So it's really important that you get a good mentor, get good training, so that you have a strong foundation in which you can use your healing ability. But yeah, it's hard to be different. But then when you finally grow up, it's pretty good to be different.
go for it, Kim. go for it. You know, you don't want to be logical. You don't want to be right. You want to be connected. And that's just so different.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Good luck.
So it's amazing how many people have experiences and have spirits and guides and other things come up and tell them that, you know, you need to be a healer, you need to do sessions with people, and how much they hold back from going forward with that. And, you know, it's, if you're feeling you're supposed to, then you're probably supposed to.
I agree.
And a whole bunch of things get brought up. Rent, money, what will people think of me? What will my neighbors say? And that's not as important to me as being connected to Source, to God, to the Earth. All that other stuff is just distractions. You got another one there for us?
Yep. Bobby, you're on.
Hey, Star. Hi, Sherry. How are you?
We're great.
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing terrific. Sherry, you know me. We met down at the 12-12-12 event in Miami, Florida.
I know you, and you've got Oscar.
Yes, I do. I just want to share one experience. I just want to say, first of all, that Sherry, you're such a beautiful person inside and out, and Synergy really showed me something after that event. To make a long story short, after that event, I had had a really bad day at work, and I came home, and I was looking into Oscar, and I went into a trance, and I was on the beach, and the water was, like, really flat, and I looked into the water, and I saw something moving, and when I looked at that, I said, well, I started to float up, and as I looked over, it was like a film strip, and it was my entire life, and I floated back to the beach, and she was sitting next to me, and she said, Dennis, you have something to tell you. So we went back to your place, and somebody was there, but somebody was a crystal skull, but he was alive, like liquid person. And he looked at me and he said, we are alive and we are for real and we're here to help humankind. And then I woke up.
Oh,
that's very powerful.
Yeah.
And
that's important.
You know,
go ahead.
You know, the thing about these ancient skulls is that they act as a focal point for higher beings to interact with humans on this earth plane. And so the name of the being that uses Synergy as a focal point, the natives call it Flame of Life. The Hawaiians called it Light of Life. Flame of Life is the spirit or the real name of the crystal skull, the sacred name. I don't write it down. It's only something that I speak. And I think that when you had your dream, that you were probably connecting to that Flame of Life. You think about the passion that we forget about living our lives. We do worry too much about what our neighbors think or,
uh-huh.
or our bosses or whatever. We have to come out and be ourselves.
Yeah.
All right. Take a deep breath. Thank you. Did you get that, your answer, sweetie? Hello? Are you there, Sherry?
I'm here.
Oh, bye. Yeah, I thought
yeah,
was
I
a
think,
little bit
was,
of technical difficulty.
Yeah,
there.
Bobby was having a lot of problems with his line. So I'll be right back.
All righty. So, Sherry, where can I find you on the Internet?
You can find me at www.crystal-skull.com.
Great.
My email is very simple. It's sales@crystal-skull.com.
And you have all sorts of minerals and crystal skulls available that have touch synergy. I see that you also have a video available. Is that correct?
Well, I have a video available when it's in stock. My producer has let it She's been teaching in Turkey, finding her own way, and I think that Synergy and I have supported her in that. So We don't have a whole lot of the videos available at the moment, but I do have a waiting list. So I end up getting 40 or 50 of them at a time and shipping them all out in 1 week. The video is interesting because it is about working with crystal skulls, and it does have clips from people who have never spoken about crystal skulls publicly. So they might be just regular people that you don't have any idea that they have a secret life working with crystal skulls.
Wonderful.
Hey, Star?
Yes?
You got time for one more?
We have time for one more, honey.
All right, I'm bringing Sherry on. So we have two Sherrys.
Okay.
Okay.
Hi, Sherry.
Hello.
What's
Hello.
Your question, sweetie?
Well, I saw on the schedule that Sherry is going to be in Tennessee with Synergy a little later this month. I'm wondering when they travel together, is she offering workshops at the various locations or meet and greets so people can come and meet Synergy? I just wondered what it looked like when they travel together.
Yeah, I follow the South Pacific Way, and what I do offer is I talk story with people. So I talk about my story and the story of Synergy, and it is like a meet and greet. It has to do with all of us sharing together. I answer questions and such. I also offer private sessions in some locations. They're limited. I don't have a lot of time to do them. They are shamanistic sessions. They aren't like what you might have experienced with another of the ancient skulls. And I do have a workshop in Memphis on Saturday, July 19th. So I believe I have on the website what days there's Talk Story, which is, it includes a lot of things. I share a lot of things. Everyone is completely different, I have to say. It depends on the group resonance, the vibration of the group. So if I can get people in resonance fast, we can really go a long way.
Okay,
that sounds like fun.
The schedule is on the link on her website. You click on it again, and you can see all the places in Tennessee she's going to be. So are you going to go see her?
I'm hoping that will work out. I need to check the dates.
Well.
But it sounds like a lot of fun.
It will be.
Well,
it will be surprising.
It is the laughing. Yeah, I'm sorry. It's the laughing skull. We do a lot of laughing, I have to admit.
Thank you.
You're welcome, sweetie. And please remember, you can get a hold of Sherry at crystal-skull.com. Hey, I'm working on the E8, and the E8 is the physics theory of everything. The universe bends in 242 different dimensions. This is the first physics formula that even includes gravity. It's called the theory of everything. I have taken it into my consciousness that space, time bend at these dimensions because there is sentient life. I have some E8 classes coming up. Please look forward to them and view them on masteryourlight.com. And Sherry, is there anything you'd like to say?
I'd like to thank you for the opportunity of being on your show, and it was a pleasure meeting you last year. I'll see you in 2015 in Ohio at ULE.
And maybe sometime you can come to our big geodesic dome I have here, 6,000 round feet, and we can have Synergy and you laugh with us. Thank you for being with me.
Thank you. Many blessings.
On behalf of Spiritual Connections Radio, thank you for listening to Stargazing with Star Fuentes. Please join us again next week for another enlivening episode. For more information on Star's classes or services, visit her website at www.starfuentes.com or call the office at 501-609-0660. That's 501-609-0660.